Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the sweet and loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank and praise God for giving me this blessed time this Sunday morning to exhort a few words from his word. Now today I would like to speak about something that we are always as humans being content, or in most cases being discontent of what we are or how we are living today. Now, what is that one thing that is separating us from being content? How would you fill that blank? I will be content when blank. Like when I'm healed, when I'm promoted, when I'm married, when I'm rich. Now, how would you fill that one blank? Or if you're, say for instance, if your blank never happens, if your dream never comes true, or if your circumstances never change, would you be discontent for the rest of your life? Now, in the world that we live in, there are many people who are discontent with some aspect of their lives. They look out for more. Our world seems to contain far more people who are discontent than who are content these days. Now, people search for something better, a better job, a better pay, a better car, a better price internet provider, a better price mobile plan, things like that. The list of things that people keep searching are endless. And even if they find what they've been searching for, most of us are still not content, and they seek out the next thing, the next purchase, or the next experience. Now, people are never satisfied, they're never content, and some are even envious or resentful of those who seem to have attained or who have more than them. Now, the Bible encourages hard work and the rewards that come from it, as long as we are free from greed. So if you are in an unpleasant job and you want to change your employer, it's good, as long as it is in the complete submission of the will of God. For us as Christians, what is the contentment that we should be seeking? I would suggest it's the inner sense of peace that comes from being right with God. For knowing God is in control of everything that happens in our lives, our contentment should come from having a focus on God and serving Him, not on seeking after the material things of the world. Now, God has given us all material things, a roof over our head, food on our tables, and clothes on our back, but are we thankful for God who's giving us the most basic things in our lives? Or are we discontent with God about what He's already given you? Do you thankfully enjoy what you already have? Do you seek to use what He has given you for His purpose? Are we generous in our giving? Are we content in Him? Now, if God took away something from us, would your joy in Jesus be steady, or would you be discontent with Him? Now, this morning, let us look into the life of Job. In Job 1:21, he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How many of us can say that the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord? Now, real contentment comes from God, from a centered life of living with our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, instead of being battered by difficult circumstances or situations, instead of being discontent, no matter what happens to us, or what others do to us, we are to be content that we have the firm assurance with God that God is for us and He will never forsake us. Now let us turn our heads to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both now to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I myself love to ride on roller coasters, and the best roller coaster ride I've taken is in Canada Wonderland, and that's on the Leviathan. There was one evening where I took four, me and my wife took four back-to-back Leviathan rides, and it was thrilling. Now, life is the most complex of roller coasters. How many of us at some point in our lives have had a really good day? Or how many of us have at some point of time had a really bad day? Or how many of us have been having a good day and then all of a sudden something seems to go wrong and out of nowhere it changes everything? How many of us have been having a really bad day and it seemed like everything was going wrong, but all of a sudden something happened and it made our lives whole lot better? Now, it's the goal of the devil to get your mind on the bad things and off the goodness of Jesus. Now, the devil wants to drop you off a hill so steep that you're overtaken by it. And you, the only thing that is in your mind is about that hill and the steepness of it. But even when the mountain looks steep and hard to climb, and the valley that we are in looks too deep to ever climb out of, the scripture still holds true that all things work together for good to them that love God. You may not understand it now, but God does. You may not see that obstacle, but God does. Now, we've got to get to that point in our lives that we are content and God is in total control. Verse 11 says, "Note that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want." The Philippian church loved Paul and they cared about him very much. They did things for him when he was in prison. They bought him things that he needed the most. And back in verse 10, Paul said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again." Now, he was rejoicing of the fact that they were helping him, but of the fact that they wanted to help him, that eagerness. But Paul wasn't rejoicing because he himself wanted anything, but because the grace of God was working through the Philippians. Now, there was a survey conducted 100 years ago where families were asked to list all the things that they wanted. And an average family had 70 wants. But 50 years down the lane, the same survey said every family or the average family has more than 500 wants. So that's how the world is we are in today. So as we go more and older, our wants grow more and more. Now, when I was browsing the internet, I found an illustration of a cartoon where there are two fields bordered by fences, and there are two mules in each field. And the mule of one field was trying to feed from the grass of the other field, and the mule from that field was trying to feed off the grass from the other field. And the title said discontent, because many believers, or many of us, are like these two mules. We are always looking for greener pastures. We are never happy, never satisfied, never content. But Paul didn't operate out of one, but he said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So he was going to be content no matter what state he was in. Whatever he was going through, no matter what the roller coaster was sending his life, he was going to be content. In verse 12, Paul said, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." So he knew how to be abased. That means down, depressed. He knew how to be depressed, humiliated. He knew how it was to have one of those days where things weren't going well. So let us look at Paul, who wrote this epistle from a jail cell and not a penthouse. He didn't have a servant waiting for him, but instead he had a soldier watching over him. Now this morning, let us ask the Lord, how can we have a resurrected life characterized by peace and contentment? First, let's fix our thoughts on Jesus. He's our high priest. He's our apostle, which means he has the authority to command what we are to believe and how we are to serve. We are expected to enter his presence so that he can give us instructions. Take for instance, there would be an ambassador for every country. An ambassador who does not have any contact with his government speaks on his own, so there's no value for that ambassador at all. He is faithful to you because he is what he values. Now, just like Moses was faithful, but the people belonged to God, his reward was in heaven. Now, for Jesus, we are his inheritance, his reward. Since we are his prize, we can trust him to take care of us, to protect us, to do mighty things through us, so that we will do what he expects of us. Now, let us each day get an image of the mighty hand of God or of the Lord that is sitting on the throne. Let us study his commandments. Let us meditate on the scripture. Let us go to him in prayer. Let us find out how to put that practice that St. Paul had. No matter what, we are content. The second point is, let us not harden our hearts. Now, a hard heart is the intentional state of spiritual insanity. For example, when the Israelites saw the Red Sea parting, they saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Despite all that evidence, they chose to believe in a God that was represented by a golden calf, and that they built themselves. So that is insanity or intentional. Now, sin hardens our heart, and that makes us do insane things, Let us not let our hearts be hardened this morning. Now the third point is to obey Christ. We all know that he is God. We know that we not only belong in his church, but belong in the work of making disciples and spreading out that hope of salvation. Now he has the power to give us peace and contentment. So to not follow in the paths of Jesus or not obey Christ is as if we are thinking that Jesus was joking. And that shouldn't be the case. Now the fourth point is, let us encourage one another daily. Now some translations say exhort, some others say warn. So it might even be warn, admonish, urge, or even encourage. They all say the same thing. Now we are not talking about a few nice words spoken casually in passing. We should be like that coach who is yelling at his team to get things done. He is not intending to be mean at all, but he's trying to push his team so that they reach the goal. And another way to cultivate contentment is by counting our blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So to conclude, let us make the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus appear to be useless by wandering through life without peace, power, or purpose. Let us not do that. Let us devote our life to the work of his kingdom, to remain in the wilderness, not as a sinner anymore, but as a saint. Now, by our obedience to Christ, by encouraging one another daily, by not hardening our hearts, and by fixing our thoughts on Jesus, and by counting our blessings, God will provide and protect to us and give us that inheritance for which he has in Christ's kingdom for all eternity. May God bless us with these words.